That marked as a song of encouragement. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. As is our practice, and with the permission of the elders, we extend an invitation to any who need to respond to the gospel's call. Now, an invitation, my wife reminds me, is not a sermon. So there's not going to be a lot of details. We're going to hit the high points. But you would certainly be my friend, number one, if there's anything that I preach that is not according to Scripture. And if you have questions about what we talk about right now, to fill in the gaps of what you understand, please let me know afterwards. Be glad to help. But most importantly, for any who are not part of the body of Christ, and for those who have fallen away, this is an opportunity to respond to the gospel call. We serve a great God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it reads, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." I've got a great imagination. But it doesn't matter how great that imagination is for any of us. We cannot grasp the joys and the wonders and the peace and the happiness and the tremendous gifts that God has waiting for us, in addition to what God has already given us. In looking at Scripture, this is not some new idea that the Apostle Paul just made up and wrote in 1 Corinthians. I think Leon made reference in Bible class in the auditorium that, you know, some of the denominational authors of certain commentaries will talk about the cultural aspects of Paul being an older Jew or something. This is not something that he made up. This is from the Holy Spirit. God prepared for us a way back home to be with him. And we didn't deserve that. He gave Abraham and Sarah a son, Isaac, the son of promise, when they were very old. He delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and into the land of Canaan as he had promised. He gave David the honor of having one of his descendants reign over the everlasting kingdom of God. He preserved a remnant of Judah and Israel and brought them back to their land and rebuilt the temple. None of these great gifts that he's already given to his children, none of these gifts compare to his promise about his love, mercy, and forgiveness. Yet they were all part of his plan to bring this about, things that we enjoy today and have yet to enjoy coming up in eternity. None of these gifts compare to his promise of his love, mercy, and forgiveness. But this is a theme that goes all the way back into the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, we read, "But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments," as God is describing himself to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, "Therefore, know the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." Start seeing a pattern as God is being described. The Father blesses all who know and love and obey him. And there's many more verses we could go into, but for the purposes of a talk and not a sermon, we'll pass those and jump to the New Testament. The truth continues in the New Testament as God delivers on an even greater promise to those who know, love, and obey Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 9, we'll begin and end this section in the book of Mark. In between, we'll go to the book of John. But in Mark chapter 9, verse 7, "And a cloud came and overshadowed them." Again, Mark chapter 9, verse 7. "And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'" When Jesus is being transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John, that that it's declared, this is who we need to listen to. God is making that very clear. How could he make it any less clear or any more clear? In John chapter 3, verse 24, John chapter 3 and verse 24, and in these next several verses from John, we'll have Jesus speaking to us. John chapter 3, 24, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Everlasting life. This is the promise. This is part of the good gifts that God is going to give to those who love him. John 14, 6. John 14, 6. Jesus explains and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 14, again, same chapter, down to verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. To know, love, and obey the Father, you and I must know, love, and obey Jesus. John 17, just a few pages over. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. Jesus spoke these words. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is right before Jesus has been crucified. This is the night before. Again, eternal life comes from knowing, loving, and obeying God. And we do that by knowing, loving, and obeying Jesus. Know, love, and obey the Father. Know, love, and obey the Son. Because in doing so, you and I demonstrate that we know and that we love and we obey the Father. And you and I will receive the promise of eternal life. Eternal life with God in heaven. To be in his presence and to experience joy and peace and love that we can never know here on this earth. It's only in our home in heaven that we can experience this. God promises it. God's faithful to keep his promises. This is what Paul is talking about on these gifts that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Jesus said this. Jesus is God's Son. If we love Christ, we will obey him. If we love God, we will obey Christ. Now, there may be those here who share the feelings of the world that the Bible is not the Word of God, that God does not exist, that Jesus was a nice guy, but he wasn't the Son of God. Well, I do challenge you, if you think that in examining these scriptures and the consistency of the message throughout 3,000 years, that this, it takes more faith not to believe this and to believe that out of the chaos of evolution that man is just, an amoeba on steroids of some type. God has taken the chaos of the world and turned it into an orderly cosmos. You take every philosophy of man and it just confuses everything to the point where people don't know which bathroom to use. But you take the wisdom of God and everything falls into place. Every one of us knows our purpose. Every one of us knows our role. Because God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of wisdom, of truth, of light, and love. And we owe him our total allegiance. Again, he said, he that believes is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. If there's anyone who's subject to the gospel call, now's a great time to come forward, and we will assist you in obeying the gospel of Christ. Please come as we stand and sing now.